What's up, Movie Trivia Schmodown fans, and welcome to the Schmodown Rundown, the official episode of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. My name is Brad Gilmore, but you might know me by another name. You might know me as Le Boat.
Oh my God, you're my dream boat, for sure.
See, I was trying to ride that little wave that you got going, Frank Janish.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and the
right.
man who's laying down those sounds from the undergrounds, he is West Coast Frank.
Numbers from a sexy player. Love those numbers.
Sexy numbers. I love those numbers. I'm feeling really good about those. Oh, feeling those numbers.
Feel it. Feel it, Brad. Do you feel it? What a week.
Do you feel it?
What a week we've had, because there was a lot of, I don't know, discussion, debate within the Schmodown community this week about spoilers, about new rules or timeouts and stipulations for title matches. Man, there was a lot going on, and it wasn't even about matches per se.
It wasn't at all about matches. It wasn't at all about matches. Really, the man whose numbers are being felt constantly. Here's the thing. Christian Orloff said no easy buckets. He also said no crying in baseball, meaning there are no timeouts. And then he said, boy, do we have some great matches ahead. Let's talk about those news items real quick, Frank.
Yeah.
Let's start with Spoilergate.
Yeah.
Spoilergate part deux. That's French for two.
It's like we seemingly have this debate every season.
Every
it's
year.
Like, what's the rules? And then the rules always end up still staying the same.
Yes.
What I'll say ultimately is I understand everyone's plight, everyone's point of view. And I think, at the end of the day, and I don't mean to sound harsh. This is not coming from like a place of malice. Facebook allows more than like one group to exist. You can create another group and where it's just, we don't talk about spoilers. We only talk about stuff until it's all public. You can do that.
No, Frank,
if you
there's
want
a finite number of Facebook pages that can be made.
I know. And
we've
like,
reached the limit.
You could still have the other main official Schmodown Facebook group. You can go in there when you're all caught up. Someone else should start another group. There's no law saying that you can't. There is a. I know there is a spoiler group out there that doesn't have very many members, but I go in there from time to time and see what's up. There's the Schmodown subreddit, and those guys do a pretty good job of moderating spoilers and stuff like that. But if like Facebook's your thing, there seems to be a whole lot of people out there that would like a spoiler free kind of group. Maybe y'all should get together, create a group so that you could talk about it stuff when you want to, or spoiler free in there, and then when you're all caught up, go back into the main group page and have at it. I don't know. That's just a suggestion. Do what you like. Do what you need to do. I don't know what else to say on this topic, Brad. It's hilarious at this point.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If I can't go 15 seconds when I'm watching a UFC fight. So like when Derek Lewis just knocked out Curtis Blaydes last weekend, 5 seconds later it was on the UFC's timeline. Do you know what I mean? Like five yeah. seconds out of the knockout. There's nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same, right? That's just the way it is, guys. Get used to it. What do we think about no timeouts?
I'm okay with it.
I was excited about the timeout rule.
So I am as well, but from what I had heard was that it just really kind of disrupted the flow of the match, and we're talking about it in a digital space, and I don't know exactly how it might have played out or it would play out, but I posted this. I was in the Schmodown subreddit, and I said, look, I can understand why this is more for a studio setting, if anything, and still we still have to see how that shapes out. But if in a digital sense, if you call a timeout and you want to talk to your manager about something, but you don't want your opponent and the other manager to hear what you're talking about. Now, they got to go to another room. They got to go in there. You got to make sure they're in the room. They got to make sure they're not listening, all that and whatever. And now you get to talk to your manager, but you only have a minute. So now when do you start the clock on that? Now you have more than a minute, or less than a minute. So it gets very convoluted, and then you got to bring the people back in, and then you got to restart it, and blah, blah, blah. So I can understand, you know, the hindrance there, because
hindrance is a good word.
Is, you know, you call the timeout to try, maybe try and clear your head or what have you, but at one point, does it kind of backfire on you because you're going through all these hoops just to take a timeout? So I'm okay with it being sidelined for the digital space. I think that's fine. I certainly would like to see it back again when we go back to studio and see how that works. And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But if it does, but great.
Can I say this, though? Isn't, like, the point of the timeout to disrupt the flow? Like when you think about it in basketball, no, for sure. The reason why a lot of times a coach will take the timeout is because the other team's offense is on fire and your defense is slacking. Yo, timeout, because you're hoping to ice them. It's like icing a kicker. It's to disrupt right. their flow. That's, like, the whole point of it, right?
But I think to a degree, it has to be reasonable in terms of, at least in the digital space, whether it's reasonable on a production level, not because if it's just a hindrance to these matches to bring people in and out of rooms, what have you, you know, and then for you as a player who called it for a strategic sense, at what, like, eventually that's going to kind of backfire on you because maybe you want to leave, maybe or you have to leave the room. I just don't think it's, you know, I don't know. I'm okay with it. Like I said, I'm okay with it taking a back seat for right now. You know, just you know, Brad, can you do it in the FCL?
Do the timeouts?
Yeah.
I am the chairman. I am the chairman.
Let's see how much fun you have with it then. And then maybe your tune will change.
Maybe it will, but we are live, so it changes. Yeah. It's a little bit different.
Exactly. Rachel, because if you do it in recorded matches, then you have to do it for live matches that we have now, 3 pay-per-views a month. You have to do it for that? Come on. Like, it's gonna be a real drag, honestly.
Okay. Look, so there go to commercial. Do something. Rachel J. Cushing says there's no 100% right answer that works for everyone regarding spoilers, but ultimately, this game is closer to being a sport than ever before, and instantaneous reaction and interaction is a part of it. So eloquently said by one of the greatest of all time, and I think that she hit the nail on the head there. Okay, last thing we should talk about before we bring in our mystery guest, the guest that wasn't promoted, and I'm going to flash this real quick before we begin. Okay, because there might be spoilers ahead with our special guest. But before we get there, what do we think about no easy buckets anymore? No free points for any faction.
This is another one. Oh, my Lord. Look,
what do we think?
I like the implementation for we're not trying to schedule outside of tournaments. We're not trying to schedule faction on faction, you know, matches. Or leading up to number contender matches or title match. I like the stipulation or kind of the fix or the workaround that throughout the natural course of the schedule that, you know, doesn't take place within tournaments. If, let's say, Damrell has the singles belt, Bateman works his way up to gets the shot, then you need to do a triple threat to add one more player into that, or they have the option to wait. I like that machination of how it's all going to work that way. I will say, for when it's a tournament winner playing at Spectacular with another, when your other faction member has the title, I understand why this is, that the rule is being implemented and it was created. I get it.
Right.
You kind of want to maintain some dramatic effect if, you know, the points are in balance there. I understand that part. I get it.
Understand.
I think it's unfortunate that the kind of way this thing has worked out is what, you know, Christian has talked about and how it's going to work for those instances. I don't particularly like it. I understand it, but I don't like it. But I understand it. You get me?
I like and understand it, I think, in this one because mm-hmm. I understand the idea of title match or individual accomplishments. Therefore, those individuals should be recognized. However, if we're playing this as a team sport, which it is now, right?
Yeah.
A faction is a team. You know, there aren't two of the same team in the Super Bowl. Like Tom Brady doesn't play Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't work that way. You need to have a clear and defined opposition, right?
I also can't wait for the day.
It's not a relay race where we just pass the title off to the next teammate. Sure.
But also, I can't. This is a kind of an aside. I also can't wait for the day when we stop comparing Schmodown to other sports, because eventually we're just going to be our own thing, because we really are. But I understand the comparisons for argument's sake, but I just can't wait till we have that day, because really, what we're doing with the Schmodown is really, we're pulling bits and pieces, and so yes, there's going to be some certain comparisons and inspirations, sure, but I think what we're doing with teams and factions, you know, like UFC doesn't have factions of fighters, and they don't come into this type of thing. No, like I said, we're a mutation of all these other sports elements, and so we're going to have to find interesting workarounds and fixes, and some people are going to like them, some are not. That's just the nature of how it's going to go.
Well, I like some people and others I don't. And speaking of somebody who might be polarizing.
Yeah.
Some people like him, others don't. He is our special guest joining us right now. I threw the spoiler alert up there. I'm going to throw it up one more time. Throw it up.
So if you have not seen last week's pay-per-view yet, this will be a bit of a spoiler for you.
It will be. Okay. Have I given enough warning?
Yeah, I think so.
Now joining us, fresh off of his first match of the season, he is the now former Intergeekdom champion of the world, Chandru Dhandapani. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, what is going on here?
Oh, no.
I was just disinfecting the belt so I can, like, you know, ship it.
That's nice. Well, that's actually very nice of you.
Considering everything that's going on. Yeah, I know.
Oh, well, you know what? You're thinking of others. How are you doing, Chandru?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good, man. So let's get into everything. How are you feeling post title match?
Post title match. I mean, of course, the match did not go the way I intended. To paraphrase Jen, I'm extremely proud of like what I did with the new format of the game and like how much the division has changed and so on. So I'm way more relaxed now before after the match than I was before. So I get to kind of like sit back and wait, watch a little more of it unfold before I can like climb back up to the title again. So I want this belt back in my house as soon as possible. So that's the next goal.
Yeah, I'm curious, Chandru, when you got word of we're adding all these new categories, all these new movies, what was your initial thought on how you would need to prepare or how it might impact your then current methods?
I think my first impact was to like just categorize, get everything. Just first look at the list itself. Even at the beginning of last season, like we got an email about potential new slices in IG and so on. So I knew it was coming. It wasn't the horizon. Like so, I kind of knew to expect something. I didn't know what to expect. So I was just like waiting for the list. And as soon as I got it, it was a mix of excitement and also seemingly daunting, because the field has literally increased by 33%. It was also like trying to get myself to the same level I hold myself to on the old slices with the new the same level of expertise with the new slices too. So that's what I was like going for. So I knew it was I had a limited amount of time to do that before my first match, and there was a little bit of unknown, like another element of unknown added too, because like usually a defending champion gets to see their challenger go through a tournament or like win a couple matches before their title match too. So again, like Mara, as amazing as she played, was there was a big question mark there, and this was just an added question mark about how deep they're going to go into these movies, how much relative importance they're going to have compared to the old movies and so on, older list of movies and so on too. So that was all. Like I was more curious than anything.
And then when you started to get into the throes of the match, you know, round one, I think the second question was the Jurassic Park question, and you kind of whiff on that one, or the Jurassic World, rather. What was going on in your mind in that moment? Were you like, oh man, this is, because we know Intergeekdom has become the can't miss league, right? The first person to almost show a sign of weakness can go down the primrose path, for lack of a better term. So when you missed that first Jurassic World question, what was going through your mind?
I mean, I think my so the loss of the match, I would put it towards two things. It's Mara first, of course, like playing an amazing game, with the questions she was given, and the other was me miscalculating a little bit here and there, and the first miss also like led me to sort of miscalculate the level of difficulty I'm expecting for the rest of the match too. I probably wouldn't know, you know, the older movies because I have studied them at this point for almost 2 years now, and the newer movies are still I've seen and loved some of them, so they're still like fresh in the mind, but I haven't like spent years studying all of them. So I knew there was going to be some sort of like level expertise differential between the older and the new, and I was curious to see how the rest of the round goes, because if I'd known, I would have gotten every other question right. I would have actually taken like a repeat in the second question. Like, I just didn't want to burn a repeat that early. So who knows if I would have like gotten the question with 15 more seconds to think about all five movies and how they end and all so on too. But that just led me to sort of miscalculate how difficult, how into depth they're going with the newer list of movies too.
Yeah, I'm curious too. Now going through this kind of this new iteration of Intergeekdom, you can say or not say, you know, what about this match has perhaps maybe led you to adjust certain way to how to prepare for this new IG? Has that changed at all, or do you think what you were doing still works, you just need a little bit more time?
I mean, I still missed only the same number of questions as the champion, so preparation wise I don't feel like I'm missing a beat, skipping a beat or anything like that. It's just the amount of difficulty that I need to expect from the whole division. And how the 2, 3, and 5 pointers have changed, especially when you're adding like a bunch of new movies, you cannot go into depth in this larger set of movies as well. So it's a bit of recalibration. I do a lot of like analytics of how I study as well. So I had a pretty good grasp of like what movies get asked about with the older list. So I just need to like kind of recalibrate if I'm more so watching other matches in this division is going to help a lot too, and we'll see.
Let me ask you this though, because there was one factor that could have, I don't know, been the culprit of your unsuccessful defense, and it's one that you haven't brought up yet, and that would be your manager, Winston Marshall, of the Swag Squad. It seemed that you and him were not on the same wavelength whatsoever. I think at one point you called him your third favorite Winston, and I just want to know what's going on here. When did you and Winston develop this beef?
I mean, I don't know if it affected my match, affected my gameplay at all. Like when we had to discuss and strategize, like we still like utilize that part to make sure we're on the same page when it comes to the game. And did I want to, you know, express whatever discontent I had with Winston during the match? In retrospect, I shouldn't have done that in a public forum. Like, I'll deal with that on my own time now. I just need to figure out something with Winston Swag, and that is all I have to say about it as of the moment. Next question.
Yeah, with that, you know, I kind of want to talk about, you know, what you guys did last year as a squad, Swag, and those members of the faction. Now you have new members in Swag. You know, you still have a lot of your core there. You know, you have Paul Yama, yourself, Lon Harris. You got Ace back there.
And what's Frank Moran is back there too.
Yes, Frank Moran, of course. What's it been like having new players come into this faction and kind of, you know, showing them, you know, the ropes of like, this is how we operate in SWAG. What's that kind of, I guess, transition, if you will, been like for you and other members of SWAG?
I mean, Winston always said SWAG is like kind of a family, and that now it's just adding more people to the family. So it's just whatever metaphor of cousins, stepchildren you want to use are getting added to the family. So again, there's going to be a little bit of getting used to. There's some people I'm a big fan of that joined the faction, and I'm excited to like talk to them more and getting to know them better. Like if they could helping each other on our match preparation for our matches too.
So let me ask you this, because last week on the rundown, we talked about it, and I almost feel, and I know it's not tradition, and I know it doesn't go with the rules, but I feel like we should run this one back. Sometimes when I'm watching a UFC fight, there's just something about it that says, you know what, I want to run this one back. You know, we just saw Conor McGregor get knocked out by Dustin Poirier, and they're already going to set up the rematch that's going to be the next fight they both have. Do you think that you should get an automatic, or do you even want an automatic rematch? Would you rather be able to go back, study a little bit, maybe play a match or two to get your wings and a feel of these new categories, and then go into a championship situation?
Oh, I'd love to do an automatic match tomorrow. I'm like kind of ready. And ready to go. Like if we replay that match, 8 out of 10 games, like 7 or 8 out of 10 times I win that match. So I've already learned quite a bit from that match already. So I'm like kind of itching to get back on the stage ever again, especially with like the potential for points. I would love to like bring 7 points. I would have loved to bring 8 points in from the first match to our faction. So I'm like itching to go again. And also like every single person who I've lost to in my first match, I have a good track record of like beating them when I meet them the second time. So I'm not too worried about that match at all. And the other part that I'm proud of is like every loss of mine, my opponent had to break the record effectively to effectively win against me. I'm more prepared than anyone is in the division, even the champion.
I'm curious about, what do you think about the prospects of having to possibly play Intergeekdom tournament, something you didn't get to do last season when everything was going on, but now it looks like it could possibly be a possibility for you to play in a tournament. Does that prospect excite you in any way in terms of having to run through the field and potentially playing at Spectacular or, you know, wherever that leads eventually?
I mean, based on when the IG tournament is scheduled, I'd love to play that match. I don't know if I'd have to like give up my title shot or number one contender shot to do that, but I'm pretty confident about my how I'd run through the tournament as well, like seeing the rest of the division and the players and their potential and so on. So again, I'm thinking in terms of faction points, what I can bring to the faction too. So the tournament is basically what three points each, right? So it's a 16 person tournament, it's like 12 points if you win the tournament, which is like a 50% more than a title difference. So whichever way, I just want to bring as many faction points to my faction as possible.
And my final question for you, Chandru, what do you say to all the people who were seemingly dancing on your grave after your defeat last Friday? There are a lot of people who are happy to see Chandru the Chosen get dethroned. What do you say to those people?
I'm happy to bring so much like catharsis and happiness to the world. From a philosophical point of view, it's just so I'm glad that so many people are happy and that I brought so much happiness to them. That watching the match. At the end of the day, this is the Schmodown Entertainment Network. So if they were entertained, if they sort of like tied their brains so much to to this match. They felt such so strongly about this match. I'm happy I was able to like bring them this like catharsis over like 8 months of time. But also remember how it felt before that match. Remember how it felt when the belt was with me, because that feeling is gonna come back 10 times as soon as I start playing again. So.
That's right. That's right. So he pretty much said, you know, he's happy that you're happy, but you're a bunch of jabroni losers, and you're gonna be crying tears once he regains the championship. Chandru, I appreciate you taking the time. I know that this has been quite a week for you, so thanks for joining us, and we look forward to see what your IG journey has ahead of you.
Thanks, man, and I appreciate what you guys do. Fans like you are part of the pillar of the Schmodown, and. Keep doing whatever it is you're doing, and I hope Christian recognizes you guys soon as well.
Oh, I thank you, Chandru. And that thing that you and I talked about Frank, you know, remember the thing that you and I discussed with Frank about, you know, how he's kind of, it's all right, you know, I know I'm your favorite, it's okay, but I appreciate you. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Sure.
Got you, Chandru. That is Chandru the Chosen. Chandru, thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we're having a really nice interview, Brad, and then you throw in that little jab at the end there. What are you doing?
I don't know, but I have to say, and look, we have a very special guest. Speaking of former Intergeekdom champions, former teams champion, one of the greatest players to ever play the game in its history, Rachel Cushing is joining us in probably about 30 seconds. But right before I bring on Rachel Cushing, a little bit of breaking news. I saw it in the chat. I asked for clarification from Christian Orloff. Apparently, the thing that we talked about, no free points.
Yeah.
It might have been somewhat. I was seeing in the chat that it was overturned, that Christian Orloff overturned that rule. What? So I haven't heard this yet, but I asked him to send me clarification on this rule. So let's see if we can hear this.
Works is it still pertains during the regular season, the triple threat option. So, for example, if Parker wins the number one contender match, Mara is still the champion. He can sit back and wait for Mara to lose the championship, or he can participate in a triple threat if Kaiser, Mara, and Parker all agree on it. As far as tournaments go, no, I gave the managers an option and let them vote on it, because I gave them all an option to say, okay, look, this will basically take away free points, because it's giving and the opportunity for a live event to have a triple threat with three big hitters is entertaining, and nobody understood it. Nobody really understood what we were going for, and the fact that we got basically the managers are willing to give away 14 free points at the end of the season.
Well, there you go.
Timeout rule is officially in the garbage. I stuck it in a garbage can, kicked it down the hill, ran down the hill, pissed on it, and then jumped on it and said, get lost.
Okay. All right. So that's from Christian Orloff. We're going to talk more about that in a second, Frank Janish. But right now, we have to bring her in. She's been patiently waiting in the wings. She is the former Intergeekdom champion of the world, the former Movie Tribute Showdown teams champion, part of one of the greatest teams all time in the Shire Wolves. Two times, right? And part of one of the greatest teams of all time, the Shire Wolves. And she is a Mount Rushmore player. She is the Crusher, Rachel Cushing. Rachel, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. How are you, first and foremost? How's everything going in the world of the Crusher?
Not too bad. 2021 is already an improvement on 2020, so we just want to keep that ball rolling. But yeah, we're hanging in there.
That's good to hear, because last year.
I mean, the bar was set really, really low. I realize that.
Yeah, we just experienced what they're calling snowvid here in the Texas area due to the winter freeze that we had. But other than that, I'm doing great. It's good to see you. It's good to talk to you. I enjoyed you on backstage when you were doing that show. But every time you pop into a chat or you have a tweet or you make a Facebook post, it's always one of the most insightful things that I've read about the Schmodown. And you have a way of viewing this game like none other. So are your opinions and views are appreciated.
Oh, that means the world to me, you know, as somebody who's hasn't played in a while, and you see, you know, the new eras move forward and you see the new players, and, you know, it's moving on without me. But to know that, you know, my voice still matters in some corners of the Schmoverse, that means a lot.
I mean, look absolutely. At that. Yeah. Look at that, too. We have your stats right up next to you. I mean, 18-11 overall record. It's a winning record. 80% accuracy. Intergeekdom champion. Two-time teams champion. 2017 Rookie of the Year. 2018 Team of the Year. 2019 Yodi Award. I mean, you're a Hall of Famer.
I mean,
first ballot, surefire. So we appreciate
having you.
That's all
that I can only fit on screen. There's more, Brad. That's all I can fit on screen.
I'm sure. Yeah. What do you think, though? I mean, let's just talk about what the match that we saw last week. What was your thoughts of that Intergeekdom Championship match? Someone that you're familiar with, Mara Kanopic, coming back after a two-year absence and reclaiming her championship.
Yeah, I was listening to Sean Drew and, you know, blocking a lot of what he said out. But he did make a really good point about, you know, this match was – there was a big question mark over it, not just – in regards to Mara coming back after 2 years, but in regards to the big changes happening in the Intergeekdom League. And nobody was really sure what the kinds of questions were going to be, all these new categories, and how, you know, two superstar veteran players would be able to handle them. And ultimately, both handled them incredibly well. There was a whole lot of new movies being asked about and to a varying level of degree of difficulty. And they both handled them like the pros that they are. And I thought it was a fantastic match. It's always hard when you look back and you go, yep, you know, that miss in round one might have been the thing that cost the whole match. But in the moment, you can't think that way because you've got five rounds to play. So, you know, you do what you can. But I thought it was an amazing match, an amazing doubleheader to start the season. Mm-hmm. You know how much I love Intergeekdom and how close it is to my heart. And I just adored the fact that season 8 started with a Star Wars match and an Intergeekdom match.
And might I add, you along with your partner, Clark Wolf, ushered in the female presence in the movie Trish Mode, the first ever female champions that we ever had in the league. You were the first singles female champion of all time. And to start off the season with, you know, the two matches, three of the competitors were all female. I'm sure that made you proud as well.
Oh yeah, it's huge. I mean, look, we stood on some pretty strong shoulders. I mean, Gray Drake and Bonnie Somerville and Katie Sackhoff, they were women playing from the get-go,
yeah.
But it was always Clark and I's mission to win some belts and championships and earn the same kind of respect that the guys in the league earned. And to, you know, going back to that, you know, epic entrance that we did when we played Who's the Boss and Spectacular, to have all those women come out with us, including Mara Kanopic, who had the Intergeekdom belt at the time, it was our way of saying, we're here to stay, we're here to compete, and we can go toe-to-toe with these guys. And I love seeing Mara backing that up again 2 years later. I adored seeing Laura Kelly playing a perfect game and Molly nipping at her heels the whole way. Like, it's what we really set out to do, and to see it coming to fruition, even though we've stepped back, it means a lot.
Yeah, and speaking of which, Molly Damon and Laura Kelly, that match will be available tonight on the Schmodown Entertainment YouTube channel. It'll be premiering at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Frank Janish, go ahead.
Rachel, I'm curious, you know, when you I'm curious if you could put yourself in the shoes of these current players and you hear, here's all the new stuff that's coming, whether you've seen the movies or you haven't seen the movies, whether you like them or you don't like them, what do you imagine your mindset might have been like? What do you imagine other players' mindsets would have been like, knowing that we're infusing a ton of new stuff in here? How daunting do you think that is for the current players? And then also, you know, we have these rookies that are coming into the league as well, who knew Intergeekdom as one thing, but now they finally get their shot, they get called up, they get drafted, but now, oh wait, here's X amount of other amount of movies coming in. What do you think these players might be going through or dealing with as they try and wrap their head around this new Intergeekdom era?
I definitely think it must have been very intimidating, especially because I know there was so much chatter last season about adding new categories, and I was one of the people all for it. I thought infusing a handful of new movies was a good idea. And then I got the list and was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is insane. And then on top of that, the question mark that I was talking about in terms of the throwdown match that happened, we didn't know to what extent these new movies would be asked about. Like, would they really take up like a quarter of the new questions or a quarter of the questions in a match, half of them, would they be more surface, easy level, who starred in, what name the movie, movie release date? Or are these going to be the same kind of level, difficulty level questions that IG has always been? The answer is yes. I mean, there were some that Jurassic Park round one question, honestly, that Wizarding World round one question, the History of Violence question, the Ron Perlman Alien Resurrection question. They, you know, weren't holding back with the level of difficulty in these new movies. So you go from approximately having to know 200 movies to a really high degree to now having to know 300 movies, apparently to about that same level. That's a lot. And it's going to start looking more and more like the singles and teams league in terms of luck playing a massive factor. If you're Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie lover and you spin that in round two, you have a really good chance of winning that match. But what happens if you get Alien and Predator movies and you've only ever just watched them before this match and you get a deep level question like that? Like, Inner Geekdom is not the division where you can watch a movie and answer any question about it. You have to watch that movie 10 times before you know the level to which of the questions you need to answer. Not always, but enough of the time to make a difference in the league. So my heart goes out to the IG players this season. I respect and am amazed by the level of work that clearly Chandru and Mara put in and what I imagine the other IG players are going to have to put in. You know, watching 200 movies over and over again to be competitive in the IG league was already hard. And now to do it with about 100 films or so, that's good luck.
I'm curious too, because I think it would be somewhat reasonable to guess that there would be a dip in accuracy rates this season with these new infusion of movies. I'm curious if that dip is going to happen. It certainly did not look like it with Chandru and Mara. I'm curious with other veteran players how well they do with these newer movies being put into matches now. I do wonder if it will be kind of a dip this year, and then as we get into next season, I don't want to think about next season, but next season the numbers start to peak up as players get more and more familiarized with these newer movies. Do you think, Rachel, that, you know, eventually players will memorize or, you know, become very familiar with these newer movies as they have with the older Inner Geekdom, to where it may seem like kind of a singles type of league in Inner Geekdom before Inner Geekdom becomes back to its old self again, as we've known it the past couple of seasons?
That depends on the players. I've said it in the past, and it's a well-known fact, you know, a lot of people who play in the Schmodown have day jobs or have families or have other things going on in their lives. And it was very difficult to watch 200 movies as often as I did when I was playing and working a 10-hour day job too. And I know that the same thing could be said about other players. Many players have careers such that it's easier for them, or jobs that, you know, work well with, like, playing movies in the background, or, you know, everybody's situation is different. So it's up to the players coming in. And this is true across all the divisions. You know, the Schmodown started out with people walking into the room and sitting at a desk and answering questions about movies that they might have seen and love, you know, right. But there was not preparation. There was not studying. There wasn't what people now put into this show in order to be good at. And so if you pile 100 new movies on IG players' plates, it's now up to the players and their circumstances, each individual set of circumstances, as to whether or not they'll be able to. I certainly know they're going to try. This means the world to them and that they want to do that. I think some have advantages in terms of the time to do that and the ability to do that over others, but it's proven time and again that people do what it takes to be the best in all of these divisions. So I'll be very curious to see what these new regiments look like for these top players. I do think it's going to really mix up the matches, though, in the meantime, because I do think that a lot of new players were going to waltz in and be going, I Transformers, man, that's in the IG now. I'm going to kill it. This is all me. I'm going to be great. You know, like it's bringing a level of excitement. I mean, I didn't mean to stoke the fires, but during the IG match, I commented in the YouTube comments that Sam was killing it. Yeah. Like, killing it, because it was RoboCop and Jurassic Park and Alien and Predator movies. He's like, are you kidding me? And like, he was doing great. So there's a lot of people that, you know, if the matches go their way, much like in singles and teams, in terms of the categories, now that there's a wider variety of the, I mean, in that championship match, there was one Middle Earth question, only one. I was very sad about it. But, you know, like it just goes to show you, with more movies to ask about, there's more of a gamble involved. You don't know which ones are going to be asked about. You don't know which categories are going to get hit a lot in that match and which ones aren't. So I think there's going to be a little bit more of a who knows how this is going to go for a lot of the newer rookies and some of the players who, you know, somebody like a Saul maybe or something like that, who didn't quite break big last season, but is waiting in the wings, and, you know, things go in their favor and all of a sudden they might win a couple of IG matches. But at the end of the day, the people who take home the belt are the ones who, you know, are going to commit those 100 new movies to memory like they did the other 200.
You know, Rachel, I'm curious, because you bring up Sam Levine, he was killing it, but I think what we all want to know is, was Rachel killing it? Because I'm
that's
curious.
What we want to know.
Yes. You know, I'm just wondering. I'm just curious, just a little bit.
There's some movies on that new list that, in some ways felt a little arbitrary, but in a lot of ways lined up right with what Rachel loves. So there was a number I was very excited to see, and you know, I am helping out Sam and his rookies and, you know, getting them ready for their first matches and whatnot. So I was looking through the list pretty closely and writing some questions and helping train and everything. And yeah, I played pretty well.
I mean, just, you know, in case there are inquiring minds out there. I don't know.
The people want to know, what did you, so let me ask you, out of the new categories that we saw in that match in particular, is there one that you said, you know what, this should have been a part of the Intergeekdom division since day one?
I don't know about day one, but last season I got asked a couple of times what new categories I put on the wheel. And Alien and Predator always felt like a right fit for me, even though some of those movies are really, really bad. But there's some Marvel and DC movies that are too. So, you know, it goes with the division. But I definitely was not surprised to see that and do think that fits pretty well. I'm not surprised Jurassic Park got added too, just because that is such a cultural touchstone for so many people. And the Jurassic Park Patreon match between Cody and Perry was a huge, huge hit. So that one made a lot of sense to me. Yes. Yeah. So like those made a lot of sense to me. And Transformers, again, as bad as some of those are, like generally fits. I love that Planet of the Apes is added. You tell me, I grew up on those movies. So it's going to be fun to see people who have never had to deal with those 60s and 70s movies watch those.
Of course, the Marky Mark iteration.
Oh, well, yeah. Again, there's ones that go with it where you're just like, really? Like, there's some great movies in this franchise, and then there's that one. Yeah. There's always that one in these movies.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm curious to see what people think with like dystopian and time travel and sci-fi fantasy. Those are very broad, and I'm not sure who got to decide what belonged in those categories in terms of the movie list. Like, I was looking at the dystopian list, but Hunger Games is not part of it yet. Mm. You know, Matrix and Back to the Future and some other ones did. So like, there's still, I think, an attempt to try to figure out a balance on these. But in terms of the specific new categories, I think for the most part, they make sense. The franchises, the Intergeekdom always seemed to me to be about franchises, because those are the things we geek out over in a lot of ways.
There was one of the categories, I think it was a first round category. It was just Superman, you know, and Mara got just Batman. You know, I think, in terms of kind of
give me X-Men
categories. Yeah, exactly. I think that would have been very, I like that addition probably the most, in terms of let's just isolate it to this one character and run the gamut on it. That's actually one of the probably the more fascinating, I think, categories or implementations this season in Inner Geekdom. Would you know, you just mentioned X-Men. Is there like specific categories you would have been gunning for had that been around in your play day?
Well, it was no surprise that I was more of a Marvel person than a DC person. But if you gave me Batman, I'd be great. Yeah. Superman, slightly less so. X-Men, hands down. Spider-Man would probably be pretty good for me. It's interesting that the MCU and DCEU aren't categories anymore themselves. They fall under the DC and Marvel umbrellas. But I'll be curious to see how the fans react to, you know, less of those questions. But yeah, it's an evolution that actually did start in the singles and teams division too. I mean, the first few seasons, what were the categories? For the most part, they were comedies, dramas, sci-fi fantasy, horror movies, animation, you know, and then occasionally they had Arnie and Sly way back at the beginning, but that's because boys ran the thing.
That's true.
And like some of those kinds of things.
Point Break, you know.
Yeah, category. Exactly. Whole category by, okay, guys.
Yeah. That was 2014, but yeah.
Yeah. But eventually, and even again, the leaps and bounds have happening. There are even bigger leaps and bounds in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, wheel categories have really grown so that, you know, it's not directors anymore. There's still a director slice, but there's a Spielberg slice, a Tarantino slice, a Fincher slice, a Coppola slice, a Scorsese slice, a Catherine Bigelow slice, a Nora Ephron slice. On and on we go. And then the same thing with actors and actresses. So you have these big, wide slices, and now you have these narrow ones. And that's part of the strategy in singles, teams, and in IG too. Like, if DC is not great for you, but Batman is, hone in on that. And that's something that you know you could kill. So I think it plays into the strategy of the game, and it plays into, you never know what you're going to get, a really, really narrow slice or a much broader one. Am I talking 6 movies? Am I talking 20 movies? You never know.
Yeah, it's one of those things too with the like you said, some of the broadness of the categories. I will like to see how people are able to combat that when they're normally used to focusing on these very specific set of films in the slice. Let me ask you this. By the way, my favorite slice has been Swashbuckling Adventure, just because I like to say it. and I like the I like those pirates movies. I'm sorry, I do. I like them all. I like every one of them. Okay. I like every one. Rachel's trying to hold back her disdain.
I'm a big, big fan of At World's End. I think At World's End is as good as the original. The rest of them, I could go without, but I'm a big At World's End stan.
Oh, mamacita.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, man. That's a throwback for OG Rundown fans.
What was going on? I want to know, you were watching as a fan, as we all were, when that match was occurring, the championship match. I'm just making the assumption, like most people were. I said it on the show last week, I was rooting for Mara. I love the story of Mara Kanopic coming back after that hiatus, being in a championship match and trying to get the job done. When you were watching the fifth round, and we were getting into the nitty gritty, the final few questions, you know, what were the emotions going on? And when you heard her 5-point question, did you know it? Did Sam know it? And if so, did you think that she knew it?
We did. And therefore I did think that she did. All pretense aside, Mara has become a very, very close friend of mine and somebody that, you know, I would never have met had it not been for the Schmodown. And, honestly, 2020, her and Dan were sort of instrumental in keeping Sam and I sane. We spent a lot of time on Zoom with them, and you know, when they were moving, it was hard, but honestly, we were spending so much time on Zoom with them anyway, it was fine. And I know what she's gone through, and I know how much the Schmodown has meant to her in amongst a lot of stuff that she's gone through, you know, health-wise and personally. And, you know, I have never been able to separate my personal feelings from the Schmodown, to my detriment a lot of the time. But I always root for people who I feel like it just put their heart and soul into things, and who put their heart on the table and wear it on their sleeve and give it everything they have. And I don't want to you know, take anything away from Chandra. I don't know him as well. All I know is that his character is very disrespectful, and I don't respect disrespect. So, like, I respect game, though, and he beat Kevin Smets, and that is a feat that very few people can say that they did. But on a personal level, on, you know, a comeback story level, on all of that, like, I really was pulling for Mara, and I think that it meant the world to her to win like she did. She was doing something that Clark and I were always doing too, which is trying to shut people up, because we get so much more flack and so much more talk about, are they good enough? Is it ring rust? Yeah. Is it fair? Like, the percentage of women who get those comments versus the men is still very disproportionate. So I was just thrilled on all of those levels that that she managed. And yes, so we were on pins and needles the entire fifth round, because they both got all their questions right. And we were like, really? I was sitting there and I'm going, I knew he knew Shakari. I knew he knew it. But I was still sitting there like, mess it up. Like, maybe the Vulcan thing, like, threw him off. Like, sorry, Chandru, but I was. And so, you know, it to me, the when the real world sort of creeps into the schmodown and you see people who give it everything they have and have these really poignant stories, that gets, you know, mixed up in it all, and therefore is that much more moving to me personally when they pull out the victory.
Such an incredible moment. Yeah, it was such a great moment. It's like it's what you watch the game for, mm-hmm. right? Moments like that is what you watch this game for. And I was watching it with my lady, and she started saying Mara Kanopic is a hot topic afterward. I don't know why. That's just what she wanted. She started chanting it, and she had tears in her eyes. I think we both did when you saw Mara's reaction. Frank, were you about to say something?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Rachel, with all the knowledge that you possess, not only just movies, but about this game, and like I said, every time you seem to make a post or have an opinion about it, it's such an insightful, introspective observation of this entertainment form that we all know and love. What can we expect from you moving forward? I know the playing is a thing that you get all the time, but will we see Rachel Cushing involved in an official Schmodown capacity at any point in the future?
It's hard to say. I was beyond thrilled last year when Christian and Ben asked me to be on backstage, because I felt like that was a way for me to officially be involved that I could do. And I could for a while, but ultimately the set time of that having to be every Tuesday from 12 to 2, you know, when I'm working, that's so much harder for me to be able to do. Look, I love this game so much, and I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't days where I think to myself, I could go back in, because clearly the way that everybody wants me to come back and be officially involved is to play again. Like, I right. know that's the phone call Christian is always hoping he's going to get, and various fans and friends and everything else. And in a perfect world, if I, you know, was somebody like Dan or Roka, who does this kind of thing for a living, who gets to watch movies for a living, who gets to put everything they have, the hours of the day and their time into it, that would be one thing. But I have a career that I've worked really, really hard for close to 20 years to build. And it's what puts food on the table and a roof right. over my head, on top of the fact that I put that much time and energy into it and I love it. So when I am editing on a television show or a documentary, I am doing that 10 hours a day. And it's just not possible for me to then, after that, spend 4-6 hours watching movies, doing flashcards, training, all of the stuff that you need to do to be in the Schmodown, to be competitive in the Schmodown, generally speaking. I tried it and I did it for a while, but I burnt out on it. And it's only gotten, I don't want to say worse, because it is what the competitors put into it. And if people have that as a priority, that's huge and that's amazing. And I admire and respect that. I just know where I am in my life that, you know, I need sleep, unfortunately. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not a secret. I am helping, you know, Sam's players, particularly the rookies, just because I'm an empathetic person and I know they're all very nervous and excited. And, you know, I love being sort of a resource for them when I can. I was hoping to call matches, but there's sort of a conflict of interest because I'm so involved with the Usual Suspects, so I understand that. But I don't know if I'm allowed to say this or not, or Brad, if you even know this, but Christian asked me to, you know, be a host, to call somebody to call matches in the FCL. And whenever my my schedule allows me to do that, I would absolutely love to do that, because particularly, you know, helping the rookies find their paths and figure out, you know, how they can get better in the Schmodown and what they can bring to the table and help hone that. That's something that I would be very proud to be a part of.
And it's something that you're more than welcome to be a part of anytime that you're available. And I just want to say, whether it's doing something in the Movie Trivia Schmodown, whether it's, you know, you've been successful in the Schmodown. We all know that. Your stats are on the screen. They've been on the screen for the entirety of this interview. And that's for a reason. That's to reiterate your greatness to this game. And also, we know about your personal successes within your field, within your career. You've been recognized for your successes there. So to me, it just says, no matter what Rachel Cushing is involved with, you are a massive asset to whatever field, whatever profession, whatever role that you're currently inhabiting. You're a massive asset. So that's why everyone, I think, would love for you to be involved in the Movie Trivia Schmodown again, and the FCL. It's an open invitation at all times. And I'm excited to hear about the possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. The other way to put that is I'm a perfectionist and rather anal retentive. So that makes me good at a lot of these types of things. So, you know, call it what you will. You know, I when I set out to do something, I want to give it everything I have. And that's true in my career. That's true in my relationships and my friendships. And that was absolutely true with the Schmodown. And never say never. Maybe there's a period in my life where I can give the Schmodown the attention it needs in order for me to, you know, to play, because I will say in the back of my brain, I never got that singles belt. And yeah, that is the one elusive piece that, you know, might draw me back in at some point someday, but we will see.
Oh, mamacita.
Oh, yeah. That's like a good time.
That's a good time.
Rachel, we appreciate you so much for taking the time and joining us here on the Schmodown Rundown. You're welcome back anytime. And hopefully you and I will be talking soon.
Absolutely. It's great to see you guys. Bye, everybody.
You too.
Take care, Rachel. That is the great Rachel the Crusher Cushing. Gosh, she is phenomenal, isn't she?
Yeah, that was great.
What a gem.
Yeah, so great to talk to Rachel about Inner Geekdom and everything that's going on, because she really has, you know, that the mind, and she was such a pioneer in that division. And to just hear her comments and thoughts on the matches and how things are evolving is always, I think, very interesting and insightful. You know, as you said many times, insightful for us, for the fans. So it was a real treat. And Rachel will, I think, for me personally, she will always be the GOAT for me personally. I think, you know, what she did for the league was tremendous. And that's just me.
That's
other
just
people have
you,
their
Frank.
Own GOATs, but Rachel's my GOAT.
That's
I would have said
you.
It while she was here, but you kind of booted her off, Brad. So
I didn't boot her off.
I said,
Frank, do you? I said, Frank, do you? Did you? Were you going to say something?
No.
I said, Frank, were you going to say something?
Okay. Brad, are we going to do this? Come on.
You know what? You know what? Seriously. Some other breaking news here. April the 24th, 2021. We are going to have the Schmodown free for all four. The Schmodown free for all.
That's what it's called.
Oh, the schmo for all. No, the free for all number four. We were supposed to get it last year, obviously, due to COVID-19. As with many things, it was not a possibility, but we have figured it out. We've cracked the code. And on April 24th, my favorite show of the year returns, the Schmodown free for all four. Why can't I say that? Why can't I say that today? Also, though, coming up soon, March the 3rd, Amaru Moses and the Jackal, Jesse Swift, making their Schmodown debuts, Usual Suspects versus the Quirky Marks in the Inner Geekdom Division. Talked about all IG tonight. Big matches going down there, and who could forget March the 5th.
Oh, boy.
Papa Boats' 76th birthday. We're going to be taking it in by watching the Insnider, Jeff Snyder of the Stars, take on the greatest of all time, as some might say, right? If Frank, Frank, not included, but he has been given that moniker, and he looks very angry in the photograph. Dangerous Dan Merle, two of the greatest players of all time, go one-on-one for the first time.
That's a three-rounder, too, so that's going to be, it's going to be balls to the wall on that one, man.
And here's the thing. Winner plays Adam Collins for the Movie Trivia Schmodown Singles Championship. It don't get much bigger than that, Daddy.
I don't know what rematch I want between Adam Collins and Jeff Snyder, or if it's Dan Merle. It's a win-win, but man, I cannot wait to see Jeff Snyder and Dan Merle go head-to-head. Three rounds. It's going to be something else. Versus if you're not at the $10 level Patreon, I do, if you can, it's recommended. You could also get it individually on the showdownlive.com, I believe. So I think that should be available.
If you're not doing the Patreon, I really don't understand.
Well, you know, Brad, some people just can't do it.
No, no, no. But I'm saying if you want, like, no, I'm saying if you're going out and you're buying every single pay-per-view, I don't understand. Not just go over there. Do it, man. It's the best $10 you'll spend.
Yeah, you know, if you're gonna buy the stream, if you bought last week's pay-per-view and you're gonna buy this week's pay-per-view, well,
look,
should just get the $10.
If you go to Starbucks and you get a venti caramel macchiato extra hot with the soy, right? With the soy instead of the dairy, right? And then you get yourself a chocolate croissant, you ask them to warm it up. That's $10 right there. That's $10 right there.
Wow. You're like a calculator over there.
I am.
Mamacita.
We're gonna wear that one out, aren't we?
Yeah. The other thing we didn't mention was the announcement of two Star Wars tournaments that are going to be happening.
Double stars.
Yeah. So one's an 8-person tournament, and then later in the year will be a 16-player tournament. So if you don't have two Star Wars players on your faction, you better make sure you got two, because it's gonna happen. Maybe you might even need three if you're, you know, one of your players is the champion at the time. So I'm very excited to see two Star Wars tournaments. It's the first time we've ever had two tournaments of any division in any year of any season. So
yeah,
very interesting. Big things ahead for Star Wars. I'm very excited to see, you know, all that stuff happen with Star Wars and everything going on with Inner Geekdom. It's gonna be great. And then of course we have singles and then eventually teams. So it's gonna be a real fun year. And I just can't wait to see, you know, all the events transpire.
By the way, Rachel Cushing being involved with the FCL is our Schmodown Rundown Great Scott moment of the night. Can I get a Great Scott?
Great Scott! Absolutely.
Incredible.
I don't think you've used that soundbite better than you just did.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I feel like that was an appropriate moment. So, Frank, I want everyone to make sure that tonight at 8 p.m. specific time, 8 p.m. specific time, you can go check out Molly Damon versus Laura Kelly in the Star Wars division that happened last Friday. It will be airing on the SEN channel. Also on the SEN channel, go check out my interview with one Bob Gale, the co-creator of Back to the Future. We talked for nearly 40 minutes about his new book about Back to the Future, theories and things that I've wanted to ask him for quite some time. It's the second time I've talked to Bob Gale in 6 months, which is nuts. Nuts.
That is. You guys are like best buds now, you know?
I wish.
Should get
bracelets
that say best buds.
Mm.
You know, that's a Friends reference, if you didn't know.
I've been watching Friends on HBO Max.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Holds up.
I think that's like an episode of season three.
You know, I was never a big Jennifer Aniston guy, but now.
But now. It only gets better.
It does. I'll tell you. It does. Just like the Schmodown. Only gets better. Every single season, bigger and better. Frank Janish, why don't you let the people know where they can find you and where they can follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at FrankieJ29. And if you didn't recognize, there's a kind of a new revamp on the Quick Clips channel. It's just now called Schmodown Extras. And there's some, if you go to the header up there, you're going to see something, some information. So go over there, check it out.
Some subliminal news, breaking news that we dropped over there. So go check it out on Schmodown Extra. You can find me on all social media at Brad Gilmore. And we will be back next week here on the only show that matters.
That's right.
The Schmodown.
rundown.
Oh, mamacita.